All right, Cole. What are you doing this week?
Well, Gary, I went on Groupon. Apparently still a thing. I had no idea.
It's different. Like, if you click on it, it's not just, like, food and stuff. It'll be, like,
helicopter events. Lessons. Yeah.
Helicopter lessons. And it's always kind of been that. But there's also now, like, just... There's a museum in your town. No discounts.
Yeah.
You know, just check it out. You know, it's kind of trying to trip it by as well.
And what's funny about that is, like, I did get, this is for a museum, but I got so the discount is weird. I did get it at a cut rate, but we have no control. It's kind of like standby. I have no control, really, over, so it's the museum, but it frequently has rotating exhibits.
Like a museum.
Just like, you know, but it's not like once per quarter. It's, you know, they really churn them through there. It's kind of like a weekend affair kind of thing. So
I just went on to Groupon, and there's a trending deal for a wildlife safari, and they could not find a happy looking lion. So it is the most depressed, abused looking lion I've ever seen.
Oh, I've got
a really depressing image.
Yeah, no, I went to one of the most, this was late last year, went to one of the most depressing displays of wildlife up in rural Michigan.
Yeah. I love animals. I'm never going to do one of those things.
No,
sad to me.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Like, it was a place we went to get apple cider donuts, because you know, apparently they had famous apple cider donuts, but they had not like petting zoo, but pretty just...
Like a staring zoo, a gaping zoo?
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, it had the production values of a petting zoo, but, you know, it was just, like, muddy animals, like, trying not to be out in the rain, because it was in the middle of... It was the middle of October.
That is the sad animal...
Yeah.
Display is something that has a really, really long human history.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Like, what if we just displayed some, like, extremely sad animals?
Mm-hmm. Then you walked indoors to, like, where they kept the birds and the reptiles, and you look at all the birds, and they've plucked all their feathers out, and it's like,
yeah,
oh,
they've
fuck.
All gone insane.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Everyone has gone mad. This is just like the yellow wallpaper, you know,
like crawling around the baseboard.
Yeah, just. You know, what if we drove some animals insane and you got to look at them? You know,
you have to pay to leave.
We don't deserve to make it.
No.
I know I keep saying that.
No.
But we're not going to make it, and we don't deserve to make it.
Yeah.
You know, by any means, we're bad.
Yeah,
bad.
It's a there is no redemption. lay down, face down on the ground, and wait for your demise.
Cruel, uncaring.
Yeah. No.
You know?
It was real rough. So anyway, this is not a sad animal display. Let me see here. Gonna open up the door to the front of the museum. Oh no! It's the exhibit is bad mist clones.
Ah, oh, jeez.
I had no control over this. I'm real sorry.
I'm gonna go take a piss. I'll be back.
Ah, look at this shit right here. I don't know. I'll just throw a dart at somebody because I'm so angry. And it landed by the docent. It landed in the docent by the shivers. Fuck shivers, man.
I don't know if I assume fuck shivers.
Yeah.
I don't know if fuck shivers though. Like, I didn't get enough into shivers
yeah.
to really get it. Is you know. Suffering. My name is Gary Butterfield.
Hi, my name is Cole Ross.
We have no catchphrase at the moment.
Right.
We only play these games for a half hour.
Yeah.
So I don't you know, I don't know if this gets wild.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. Maybe it does. I've got a long play of it playing in the background, and I've been looking at an answering machine for what feels like a minute and 45 seconds of just that. So it's the kind of wild business we're going with here.
Yeah. Yeah. No, so I don't know. So fuck shivers in terms of for the show. This came onto my radar when I was putting together the list of stuff for Hexcrank. You know, just in terms of being a horror-themed game. You know, and also part of that bumper crop, you know, that came shortly after Myst and The Seventh Guest, obviously trying to cash in on that, with similar but worse puzzles.
Yeah. I'm watching somebody scoot around little, like, racist monkey men on a sliding block.
Yeah. The fact that this takes place entirely in a museum dedicated to crackpot anthropology does not inspire an awful lot of confidence, especially because a lot of it is related to Egypt. And I think that the ultimate, you know, antagonist to the force you are working against is a bunch of Mesoamerican ghosts.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
The one ghost who I saw when I was playing it was definitely just like he looked like Eric Wareheim, like a thin Eric Wareheim.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? And then but was not Mesoamerican. He seemed like Amero-American. But I imagine he's in league with those Meso ghosts.
Yeah, yeah. When I say Mesoamerican, like there's a bunch of stuff about like Aztecs, Quetzalcoatl kind of shit.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. You can tell. Yes. Like I'm you know, just from a brief overview of this. So there's just a lot of you know, here's an exhibit on masks.
Yeah.
You know, these are the holiest of holy masks that did X, Y, and Z. And then you have to rotate them around and flip them and break them and shit to like form a letter that says like, look in the second floor closet, you know, as the cradle of civilization has taught us to do. So
This was demanded by, let me see here, Aerodynamics, who says, Shivers creeped the hell out of me as a youngster and maddened me with its impossible marble puzzle. It's also aged far worse than most of my favorite games. The pixel animation work is really something. Here's hoping you can get it up and running for the fully immersive terror. Like, it's available on GOG. Like, you can just get it. So that was not a problem.
And it seems to me, like, again, I didn't get to play it as much because we don't play these games for that long. Mm-hmm. But it just seems like a Myst clone, like with, you know, again, worse puzzles than Myst, but probably better puzzles than Seventh Guest.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, we're fresh off the Seventh Guest and those puzzles are not great.
Yep.
At the very least, a wider variety, just kind of from scrubbing around or looking at facts.
Yeah.
You know, so like mildly racist, mildly atmospheric.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mild puzzles.
Yeah, but you're just you're going into a haunted museum. I love the intro to this, the opening cutscene with the four white teens just harassing you. They were just told to vamp and call the person a chicken. And then they all walk off like they're all coupled off. Hey, what's this single guy doing with these two couples? Is he their pinch hitter?
He's gonna rotate in.
Yeah.
The preppy couple that are just like making fun of you, laughing and rubbing each other's shoulders like a disturbing amount. the amount of touch. Like, I feel like that had to have been a director.
Yes.
Thing like, no, your couple, touch each other more. Touch each other more. Because everyone is just like constantly rubbing each other's shoulders.
Yes.
Like it is they've just like gone to bat. And they need to like their horses that need a rub down. And then laugh at you as they leave. It's like when Bart and Ralph Wiggum get stuck in the old abandoned prison.
He's gonna smell like hot dogs.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then they all drive away in a Corvette. It's definitely an act of violence to you. This is a ritual.
Yeah, no, you are being offered is the thing. But like this whole thing is like framed up as a dare. And like you go through the museum and you are learning about the eccentric proprietor, and also according to the Wikipedia, the two nerds who unleash the evil.
Yeah.
It's very funny.
The Professor Windelnot and his nerds.
Yes. And those dastardly nerds.
I hate those nerds. I was trying to figure out who I was in this game, and I took a quick peek over at the FAQ and checked the entry for you and get you. You're you. You must use your wit and sanity to survive a horrifying night in the museum. Good luck.
So
I love you like a FAQ. As an entry for you, where the opening is you're you. Like, just like, it's very like, that seems like it should be on a poster in the 70s with like a smiley face smoking grass or something.
Yeah.
You know, really, really chief and a doob.
Yeah. That reminds me of like some of my first experiences in AOL chat rooms, like having people just write, I am me. Like, I am me. Sure. I am me. And, you know, I had no idea what I am meant because I was a I was 6 years old and went in way over my head. I thought they were just saying, I'm me.
Yeah.
Like just like that it was like something that you, it was just something that you had to do when you were unmoored in cyberspace, is constantly assert your ego or else you'll be given over to the mass.
Yeah. The lawnmower man will take over.
Yes.
What were you doing on IM at six, dude? Is that normal for your age?
AOL chat rooms. My parents didn't really care what I did.
Did you? How did you avoid getting squeaked?
I don't know. I just I think at one point they laid down the ground rules. Like, hey, don't tell them where you live. I remember as like so this would have been like eight. This would have been when I when we got the new computer after we moved to our family's old house. I base everything on computers nowadays. No, I would have been about eight. I remember getting into, I probably had a near miss with a squeak because somebody IM'd me, because I was talking in a chat room about the X-Men animated series.
It's me from the future. Now I remember you, cute red boy 69.
Excuse me, I was Sonic Kid 87. Come on. but no, I got IM'd, from this person I was talking about X-Men stuff with, and he asked me, what race are you? And I don't know where I picked this up. I mean, probably some Captain Planet or something, but I was like, I'm human. just precociously woke 8-year-old Cole.
Yeah.
What race are you? I am of the human race, sir.
I'm a human race. We all bleed red.
We're all brothers under Christ.
Yeah. Why should you care if you want to molest me? Like, what does it matter?
Yeah.
Yeah. Tiny weird dick the same way.
He got real angry that I wouldn't say if I was white or black.
that's really unfortunate. You were definitely being like sorted in some way that's like pretty untoward.
Yeah,
that's unfortunate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for people who don't listen to everything to Guppy, squeaking is when you kidnap but not fuck a kid.
Yes. So, abscond. So, abscond with them for your own purposes.
Yeah. Which do not or cannot include fucking.
Right. Otherwise you're out of the squeak squeak club.
Yeah, other than it's no longer squeak squeaking. Yeah. That's a different thing. Right. I don't know what it is at that point, but it's different. That's weird. I don't know if it's just because of how old I was when I got onto online, but I never talked to strangers.
Oh yeah.
I would make friends like, hey, what's your AIM handle? It was like a cool thing. And spend a lot of time on AOL Instant Messenger, but never strangers, never chat rooms, never weirdos. Like even my like propensity for solitary pursuits was in effect then. Like I'm not here to meet people. I'm not online to meet people. I'm not here to like make friends. I have friends. I'm here to
it's talk a reality to show. The world's most boring reality show. I'm not here to make friends. No, really. I'm not trying to antagonize anybody. I literally don't care.
Yeah. the reality show that is AOL Instant Messenger.
Yes.
What is a pretty boring reality show.
No, I had strangers that I met through friends, like just like, oh, somebody at school, like they started talking with this girl from Britain, so I talked with her for a few years and just kind of developed a network of friends that way. But usually it was like one or two degrees removed. I eventually just got bored of the public chat rooms because like, oh, nobody's actually like talking to each other. Like, this sucks. Yeah.
Yeah, and you're pretty limited in what you can. Yeah, I'm sure there are real friendships that come from that kind of thing, but you're pretty limited. You know, you're not likely to get, cast your line and get a real friendship back.
Yeah. This wasn't like, this was sorted by topic, really. Generally, was AOL, right? So you go to the keyword. I want to chat about Nickelodeon. I want to chat about Kenan and Kel. You go in and like, who loves orange soda? And then just the entire chat room shuts down. Because everybody types, I love orange soda at the same time.
I am orange soda. Was that a Kenan and Kel thing? Do they like orange soda?
Yes, that was a thing specifically Kel. It was kind of his Scooby snack.
And Kenan hated, and that was the concept of the show.
Yep,
it was basically the central conflict: man versus nature, man versus self, Kenan versus Kel.
It was Kel Snoop, like Scooby Snack. You could just get Kel to do whatever you want, as long as he as long as you offered him orange soda. And there was always the ritual. There was always the incantation. You have to ask because he has to assert who loves orange soda. Kel loves orange soda, and then he would go squeak somebody for you.
He would refer to himself as Kel instead of orange soda, like orange soda.
Yes.
Okay. Did you ever watch the A-Team?
Yeah.
That's what they used to do to Mr. T, but with milk. It was the same basic thing. Did you know that?
Yeah.
B.A. Baracus, like, they had to trick him into flying. He hated flying.
Uh-huh.
And the way they did it was by tempting him with milk and then putting drugs in it. And that was, like, a major thing that happened every other episode of the fucking A-Team.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
It's really weird. Like, ooh, I love milk. You know, just, like, well, this milk better not have drugs in it. Oh, no. But it's like... And then you're on a helicopter. What the fuck? It's really weird.
Yeah, I forgot about his trademark favorite thing. Like, just so I love the idea of that, because, you know, B.A. Baracus, obviously the standout character on that show. No kid was talking about face, right?
No, but some kids were talking about Murdoch.
Fuck Murdoch. B.A. Baracus is
a standout, but I think Murdoch deserves an honorable mention.
Yeah, the Murdoch. Can go to hell.
But I
like the idea of we need to make Mr. T more wholesome for the, you know, for the afternoon television audience.
Just give me a gallon of milk. Milk's wholesome.
Yeah, but then they just immediately lace it with drugs. It's a real mixed message for kids. Hey kids, drink your milk, you need your calcium, but be incredibly careful. Be paranoid.
Because you might end up on a helicopter. You know, and the person who's squeaking using a helicopter, you know, I feel like at that point that guy doesn't even need kids. Like, he's got it made. You know?
I mean, so I've got to do timeout. Like, now that we're talking about squeaking kids, I've been reading too much about this Jeffrey Epstein shit. Actually, I'm legit depressed about that IRL. So.
I guess for the record, just to point it out, is that I'm not in favor of kidnapping children.
No.
And I also didn't want to mention squeaking for sex.
Right. Yes, absolutely.
Unlike Jeffrey Epstein.
Yes.
No sex in a squeak.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is not me policing the content. This is just me saying there's only so far I can go into that particular comedy mind.
Yeah.
Even understanding the darkness, just because I am legit depressed about that IRL. Right,
just
now.
Thinking about Mr. T drinking, like, glass after glass of milk, like a Russian roulette.
Mm-hmm.
You know, six milks, and one of them gets him on a helicopter. I feel like that's like the wholesome version of this.
Yes,
because when he went on the helicopter, he just went and solved crimes,
right?
And like, and worked for his client. It wasn't, you know, a bad thing would happen to him. He was just scared of it, which is very vulnerable.
Oh yeah. No, yeah, like I respect that. I respect a person who, you know, I am over. So broke is knowing what you want.
Yeah.
Right. Woke, knowing what you don't want.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because somebody who knows what they want, like, they're coming out there. I'm not here to make friends. You know, just
exactly. I'm not on this AOL chat room with you. You're on this AOL chat room with me. One of the more relatable things I remember reading on Twitter back when we were all just numbed to Hell World, like when Trump first started coming on the scene and he was president. We're all in shock, but it wasn't. I feel like the tenor of the damage has been done now.
Yeah.
When we're all a little bit haler and heartier, I remember somebody saying that they didn't like that he was scared of stairs because it was too relatable. Mm. And like, because, you know, guys scared of steps,
right
like
there's documentary evidence of this.
Yeah, extremely being trepidatious about stairs.
Yeah.
And like and someone's just like, that's just too like human of a trait for somebody who is so inhuman.
Yeah
you know, and I remember I like that a lot as like a thought, because it's like true. It's like, I can see being scared of stairs. Like, I'm not particularly scared of stairs.
Yeah,
but I don't think it's that unreasonable of a fear. They don't make a lot of sense.
Yeah, put 35 years on you might be scared of stairs. You know,
I see it.
Yeah.
Like, I can't imagine what I'm not going to be scared of in 35 years. Like, when I'm 73, it is just going to be a nonstop terror fest. It's going to be basically Halloween Horror Nights at Universal Studios, but 365. You know?
Like, some people would pay very good money for that.
Yeah, to be me at 73.
Yeah.
You know?
And at that point.
Podcast. Like, fuck, man.
At that point, you have to bank. By the time you're 73, do we have body swap technology?
Yeah.
Not for fetish reasons.
No, not for the VR fuck corridor, but just put me into, a VR or another body that is not scared. I guess you can't put me in a body that's not scared. Fear comes from the brain.
True. But if you consider, but your brain is part of your body. If you move into a body that has less active, cortisol production, or adrenaline, right? But then again, if you are a collection of your synapses and the chemical, could you really be you? If you are in a body that does not produce chemicals in the way that you do.
Yeah. I do think that in the future, I can just produce relaxicules on demand.
I do that. It's called Xanax.
I end up definitely having Xanax. I'm not that long out from a Xanax prescription. So I keep meaning to borrow a Xanax from you when we're together and just have it just to see how I feel.
I always offer it to you at bad times. I've offered it to you right before going on stage.
Yeah, and I'm not scared, and I'm I don't know what this will do.
Right.
I basically don't want to do any drugs. I don't know what they'll do in a environment where I have to be on.
Yeah.
I want to be able to lay down.
I basically microdose it at this point. I call it putting on my armor. I tell you, I take like a half of a tablet and I put it on, and all that it does is make me care just a little bit less. And also it makes me, not in certain situations, not feel like I need to shit my brains out because, my fight or flight reaction.
Terror shits.
Yeah.
It has to be
terror shits. Yeah. You just get your blood runs cold and your guts turn to soup. And that stops that.
Yeah. I want to just do a bunch of microdosings of them.
Mm.
Do 20 or 30 microdoses.
Do a macrodose.
And I'll just be, I've been microdosing this for a while. I can't, I've never microdosed.
I don't even know what it is. I think that I use that. I use that term.
This is infuriating to someone, I guarantee it. Somebody is very mad at this entire episode. And you know what? I don't have anything to say about Shivers. I'm sorry. I just don't know. I played it for 20 minutes. I clicked on some puzzles. There's nothing online really.
I was put off for you, which I know is a bad instinct, when one of the early puzzles was color based.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sucked. But
I get to that and I'm like, and it's I just felt like I knew what it was.
Yeah, yeah.
Pretty early.
Yeah. But then right after that, don't worry, right after that was a dark maze. So
thank God.
No, but microdosing, I guess I say that because, I get a small dose anyway. Like a full one is enough to put me to sleep, which is not what I want. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Can you tell
me a little bit, just as a fellow person who likes sleep drugs?
Uh-huh.
What kind of sleep you got going on there with that stuff? Is it is there a grogginess in the morning? Is it a dreamful sleep? Is it a dreamless sleep?
So
how quick acting is it?
So the thing about it is I do not take it every day, to get really personal, and because I've, so people listening don't think that I've,
don't get worried.
Yeah. Don't get,
don't worry about us based on anything in this show.
It's long-term benzo use is not necessarily the best thing, but literally I get, I have a prescription, that I just call in as needed for 10 pills. Those 10 pills last me about 5 months.
Okay.
I just take a half of one as I need it. So that's what happens when, so I don't take it to go to sleep. That is usually, natural, or it is something like ZQL. When I take it, if I do fall asleep, it is generally extremely restful. However, because it happens at a bad time, you need to plan your nap so it won't mess up your night's sleep. I usually pay for that extremely restful sleep by having my nighttime sleep fucked up afterwards.
Gotcha.
But it is it is a nice sleep, no pronounced dreams or anything. So that is the thing with the eighth of a gram of Xanax that I take.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good to know.
Yeah. Once every 2.5 to 3.5 weeks.
Cause I love sleep medication.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically, I have a hard time sleeping. I always have. I love taking a pill and just going into a restful sleep. Mm-hmm. My favorite thing.
Yeah.
There's no really great solutions for it for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, really, like, everything has these trade-offs.
Yeah.
And I would love to find something. I don't know. I could just lie to my doctor and probably get Xanax because, you know, doctor,
it's not
a world, right? Like, it's not hard.
Right.
I could probably get Xanax.
So it's bullshit. Okay. Serious medication time. I have to go into my doctor. This may just be an Ohio rule, but they are very, there's a huge watchdog kind of element to this where, they really want to make sure that you are not buying this and then flipping it. So you have to go into the doctor for basically no reason every 3 months for a year. Mm-hmm. And then every 6 months. Basically,
so you can look you in the eye and see if you're lying.
Yeah, pretty much. they give you a Xanax audit.
Trained detectives.
Yeah.
You know, let's get Special Agent Cole Phelps to prescribe Dr. Cole Phelps to prescribe this to me.
Doubt.
Well, I'm very anxious. Doubt.
Why are you yelling at me? But it's not something you want to take for very long because benzos can get addictive. Same thing with any benzodiazepine sleep aid, such as Ambien, which comes with its own negative stuff. Although people are able to take it without incident, that can also be habit forming. Shit, like diphenhydramine, something I've gone on, you know, year long jags where I just have not been able to sleep without diphenhydramine.
Yeah,
but yeah.
I would love a sleep drug that was just quick,
mm-hmm,
and dreamless.
Yeah.
And no groggies. And yeah.
Yeah. I have found by getting the I have a very precise measurement of milliliters for ZQL that I found works for me. More than that, and I get and it just doesn't take. It's just enough to piss me off. Any less than that, it's just enough to piss me off. Any more than that, I get groggies.
Yeah.
I find that tablets of Benadryl leave me incredibly groggy. Gel caps a little bit better.
I use pot that way, and that generally works, but after a couple of days there's like a cumulative grog. Like I get sick of having
a half-life then. Yeah.
Like, say what was that?
There's, it's like a half-life in your body.
Exactly.
It does accumulate. Yeah.
I have a buddy who calls them soft days, and he's a professional pot smoker, so he likes it. Mm. But I don't want to have these like soft days. Yeah. I don't like feeling not alert. Right.
Yeah.
And that's what happens. Like after like 2 days of using pot to sleep, like I wake up and I'm like, I just feel slow and dumb.
Mm-hmm.
Like this sucks. I feel like an idiot. You know?
Yeah.
I don't like feeling not sharp.
Yeah.
And I
hate this. I know people are listening like, what the fuck is wrong with these guys? Why can't they sleep?
It's going to be an episode of that, folks. I'm just sorry. Like it's shivers, dude. Nothing to the person who pointed out shivers. I just don't have anything to say about shivers. I'm sleepy. I'm having some kind of like weird injury going on. Just buckle up because these two episodes are going to be weird and probably really conversational. I know we just got off the fucking what if the national monument could come. Like you're expecting to follow off on that energy, and it'd be reasonable to expect that because for you, it's only been one episode, but for us, it's been several days and a long weekend. And all that stuff. And I'm going to need you guys to be cool.
Everybody just be cool for like a second, please.
Yeah. I'm going to need you guys just to be cool. You know, I'm telling you in a couple episodes, we got some really good dick jokes. We got them planned. It's just going to be like, what if a dick, instead of having erections and flaccid, you got reverse erect and it went into your body. Like I got some stuff I'm working on.
Okay.
So just wait for that. It's not ready yet.
Yeah, we're experimenting with some dick mechanics, and we're going to come back with some really low concept stuff.
I'm spending a lot of time in the lab.
That's what you call it, huh?
Yeah.
Yep. No, but just in case anybody is like, well, what the fuck is wrong with these guys? I hate it when the conventional advice, like the just be a better adult advice, ends up working out, but it's like, okay, yeah, I generally get my best sleep after I have done any amount of strenuous work that day, physical work, you know?
Sure.
You know, either got really hot and sweaty outside doing yard work or, you know, ridden on the exercise bike or any of that. Like, that is the best stuff. But, like, I don't know, that's not this, that doesn't happen as often as it needs to.
Well, and even, it's not consistent.
Yeah.
Like, it's like if I haven't exercised for a while and then I do, like, a, you know, exercise.
Mm-hmm.
It's good sleep that night.
Yeah.
But then if I'm in the habit of exercising,
mm-hmm, you're acclimated.
My sleep issues are more complicated than that. And because, you know, again, what is it? You know, the hell world we live in and stuff like that. Like, I can go to my doctor and be like, I'm having a hard time sleeping. And he's literally just going to give me a pill to sleep.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, there's no way this problem will ever be solved.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, the truth of my experience with health insurance and doctors in general, and this doesn't have – I'm not saying this is a general truth. It's just my experience, is that there isn't really a strong urge to solve anything.
Mm-hmm.
There is a strong urge to get me out of the office and stop complaining.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? that would make me stop complaining, but it just kind of sucks. So whatever like perennial sleep issue I've had, which could be any number of things, like too much caffeine, to, you know, bad light, you know, looking at, like, I've been better at not looking at a screen,
mm-hmm.
you know, before bed, but not, you know, that's not always been true.
Yeah.
So it could be that, regardless of which, there could be things like that, but it feels like it's something deeper than that.
Yeah.
And, I'll never know what it is until, like, you know, in 10 years, I just dropped it out of nowhere out of some kind of weird fucking heart brain issue that I didn't know about, that I was like, oh, like, if only he had gone to the doctor and said something about his sleep stuff. And I'm like, yeah, fuck you.
Yeah.
That's my ghost.
Yeah.
My ghost is like, yeah, fuck you.
Yeah.
Straw man. When I'm a ghost, I'm going to battle every straw man we've created for this show. I'm going to wrap my ghost hands around their ghost throats.
That is the true battle of good versus evil.
Yeah, exactly. It's the afterlife from a ghost that I can finally fight these fictions.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like, saying all of this stuff out loud, first off, it's not something I talk about very often. It's things that you and I have commiserated with because we both have issues with sleep. I've just, in my entire life, I've never been able to get to sleep. You know, like when I was in preschool or kindergarten and it was time to go into the gym and put down our mats on the shape that we were assigned and sleep, I couldn't, you know, it wasn't enough. I just laid there with my eyes open, thinking about nothing. Right. It was basically just meditation. But what if you didn't feel better at the end of it? Just for as long as I can remember, my problem has been laying in bed, not being able to sleep. And then when the morning comes, not being able to wake up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cause you have those nights where you feel like you've just kind of been awake, even though you know that you haven't.
Yeah.
You know, like, I remember everything that happened last night. I'm sure that's not literally true,
mm-hmm.
but it certainly feels like it. And that's like a horrible, you know?
And so you go get gaffer's tape and you cover up every LED, you get blackout blinds, you know, you take the TV out of your bedroom and you sleep with your phone in a different room. I mean, you know, you do that and then the problem still gets there.
Yep.
And then get to the point of insomnia where it is not so much about not being able to sleep. You're beyond that. You are in the neighborhood of accounting for every single grievance you have inflicted on somebody, real or imagined. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and also this is a shitty cycle where, like, you wake up, this has happened, you feel like absolute garbage, but the world doesn't stop.
Nope.
I feel like in kind of a perfect world, like, you know, there's kind of two different schools of thought on this. There is the suck it up buttercup, you shitty snowflake school,
mm-hmm.
which I don't ascribe to for anything.
Right.
And part of me thinks it's like, well, if I have one of these days, you know, and, I feel like absolute garbage, mm-hmm. right. I'm, for all intents and purposes, sick.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not sick. I'm not ill.
Mm-hmm.
But I have all of the same symptoms as being sick.
Mm-hmm.
But because it's not an illness and because it's still somehow, like, my fault,
mm-hmm.
I have to just kind of work through it.
Yeah.
So then you end up with situations where I'm, like, going to work either, you know, at this job, which I'm not complaining about this job, but either this job or more frequently at, like, my old job where I had to, you know, because we're understanding about that shit, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
if you or I have, like, a garbage day and we have to put off recording or whatever, we just say it and then it just happens.
Yeah.
Because we're reasonable. Mm-hmm. Not so with employment in general.
Yeah.
Where I'd have to do that. And then it's like, well, you still have to come in and pretend to care about whatever you're hired to pretend to care about.
Mm-hmm.
So I would just, like, overly caffeinate,
mm-hmm.
which that doesn't help for the next night, you know? I just feel like it would be a kinder, better kind of place, and we would probably have productivity gains if that kind of thing happened. You know, if you said, well, you know, maybe take a day,
mm-hmm.
you know, and just, like, don't have any coffee, lay on the couch, watch a couple movies. If you need a nap, maybe take a brief cat nap.
Yeah.
You know, and then just come, you know, I wish that we lived in a world where, like, it was a cultural value to come at the world with your best self.
Yeah.
And it's just not, like, the cultural value is rise to this this level is actually very small. Mm-hmm. You don't have to actually be particularly good at this, but you have to get to this minimum level no matter what you're doing.
Yeah.
You know, as opposed to like, how do we get the best out of this person? What is the best this human can be?
Yeah. Like I feel like there is a difference between the performance and job performance, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just because so much of when I had a job, you know, was, mm-hmm. you know, it wasn't about the product. It was about appearing to be busy. It was about, you know, like all of us are going to be unhappy together in the same place or yep. around the same people. And, yep. you know, like it was so utterly divorced from the product. And I'm not saying that like, oh, it's all office politics or like that stuff's there, but that's not. And that's whatever. That's the cost of doing business. This is something that feels more broadly systemic. And mm-hmm. we can only afford to be utopian about this because of our privileged position.
Well, we can. You're always allowed to wish for better things.
Oh, true. Yes.
You know, like it's even if we weren't in that position, we could also like we're only allowed to act in the way where we can, you know, punt a half hour because life happened because we're very lucky, but we can say that's how it should have been before.
Yeah.
You know, and like, you know, people depend on you, right? Like you work at a bank, you don't go into a bank to work because you're having a rough time, right, wrong, whatever. Then somebody goes to the bank, they can't do their stuff. Like I get that argument. I just feel like this compromise is not very good.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not necessarily saying that, hey, work when you feel like it is the right answer.
That's not the...
I'm just saying that through it, saying we've solved it with what we have now is crazy.
Yes.
I also think a lot about how like natural kind of circadian rhythms, right? Like, you know, now that I work for myself, like we don't record until fairly late in the day. And part of that is, and I appreciate you being flexible about it, is that like, I don't, you know, I'm a night person, like just naturally, it's not on purpose. And sleuths out there who are like, oh, you're a night person, that's why your sleep is bad, go to hell. But like I'm a night person. I generally do my best work, you know, at night. And I in the early morning when I get up, I'm not useful. And the idea that just like, well, nope, you conform to this, you know. So I would work, you know, I worked in an office, I would get up and I would get into my office at 8 o'clock. And I was just like, I don't think I did meaningful or good work before 11 a.m. ever in my fucking life.
Right.
I don't think I've done one spot of good work before 11 a.m. in my whole life. But it's, and the idea is like, well, oh, okay, this is just how it is. You have to conform to that. And it's like, well, yeah, but I'm doing really shitty work. And that's part of what contributes to this, like pretending to, you know, like you said, like pretending to look busy, like as a value. Like I could look like I was doing good work.
Yeah.
And I could show up because I was forced to show up, but I wasn't useful.
Yeah.
You know,
this runs into a bunch of avenues of life, you know, thinking back to time in school and like, how fucking crazy is it that like we expect 17-year-olds to learn calculus at 7:30 a.m.
Yeah. Horrible.
Yeah.
Just
specifically like, because they have to work around, you know, well, it was a time that was set, you know, when everybody was a fucking farmer. Like you can't do anything at school that will interfere with the parents' putative 9-to-5 job. You know, like you have to be able to drop them off. You cannot actually like calibrate the day to what a teenager naturally well, needs.
Not only that, but the idea of a night school is a fail state.
Yes.
Like night school is for idiots and it's failures.
It is,
you know,
shorthand.
According to the value.
Yeah.
You know, it's not good.
No.
You know, it's just crazy the way that we, and that plays into like a broader thing, which, you know, I mentioned before, I'm sure, but the idea that like a lot of, I feel like problems in the world result of us doing a one size fits all approach to people.
Yeah.
You know, who are incredibly diverse and have incredibly diverse experiences and whatever, and then just have you know, no, you conform to this.
Yeah.
As opposed to let's like, you know, we have too many people to treat people as individuals.
Yes.
And that sucks.
Mm-hmm. No. It gets down to it is too much effort to it is too much executive discretion that is being asked of the systems that we are putting in. This is not a show that I listen to anymore, but back when I did listen to it, there was a good episode of 99% Invisible that was talking about averages.
Mm-hmm.
Cool down. I know it sounds like it's exciting. Yeah. It's more interesting than you think.
Did you ever listen to their follow up on cosines? Like, that was pretty hot, dude.
No, but it was talking about just the idea of like when they were trying to measure when they're trying to make standardized clothes sizes, right? You know, generally everything used to be, you know, either handmade or, you know, kind of shipped to people half tailored. And then, you know, you had somebody in your house, usually the wife, who would get everything sized correctly for you. Right. It was all customized. When manufacturing was brought in, you know, you have to be able to have not necessarily one size fits all, but you have to take a bunch of measurements and figure out, okay, like what are the like broad bands that things need to fit in? Like this was done for like military uniforms when mm-hmm. war was industrialized and things like that. And then just broadly on and on down the way, like averages are the way that we conceptualize so many things in this entire world. And it was intentionally designed to be as dehumanizing as possible. Like it is a shitty metric. It is a shitty way to arrive at a thing. When there are probably like better, more situational things, right? Like, okay, yeah. Well, should everybody get the same size piece of this food? Well, maybe, or maybe you should do one person cuts and another person chooses, you know?
Or just to the person according to their hunger.
You know, we're getting close to some dangerous ideas there, Gary.
it's literally better.
Yeah.
Yeah, that clothing thing is really interesting. I should find that episode because that's something I've thought about a lot. Like my girlfriend now is much more in touch with clothing than I am. Like, it may surprise you, people who have seen me, that I don't know very much about that. And but I think that average thing, like men's clothing, there are basically five sizes.
Yep.
You know, like it's basically just like, you know, small, medium, large, extra large, and double XL.
Uh-huh.
And that, so just taking the you know, and I don't know about you, man, but I got kind of a weird torso.
Yeah.
And just the idea that like, oh no, I'm an XL. That's who I am. You know, no, I'm not. Like, I'm some kind of weird in between thing.
Yeah.
And that clothing thing just means a lifetime of wearing clothes that fit weird.
Yeah.
You know, like they don't fit perfectly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I absolutely have a weird torso. My shoulders are broad.
Yeah. Torsos are just weird, dude.
Yeah. You know, and like there is such a thing as, you know, like just like ideally the size of shirt that I would wear is an XLT. Okay. Just because of the broadness of my shoulders and the length of my torso. But you don't always get that. And big and tall stores are overpriced in a lot of ways. Yeah. It sucks.
Yeah. Just silly, you know, and you know, people listening to this, again, straw men. If you're listening to this and you're saying, oh, these guys are just asking for the world to be catered to them, we're asking for it to be catered to you.
Yeah.
Like everybody would benefit
from more nuance, from more discretion. Like,
this would serve everyone. Everyone would have a better life.
Yeah.
You know, not just us, everyone, you know?
Yeah.
Where's the problem in that? Where's the problem in that? Oh, well, I don't know how we'll pay for it. I mean, practically. Mm-hmm. Why is that your problem?
Yeah.
Just wish for things.
Yep. It is okay to want things.
What happened to people who can't like conceive of something being nice without conceiving of it being their problem to solve how the nice thing could happen?
Mm-hmm.
You know? Jeez.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I just think that Biden can win.
No, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Well, I just think it's more practical. Like, it's not good, but it just seems more reasonable.
No, it's incumbent on me to make the compromise for everybody. Don't worry.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like the fucking Biden thing. What is it? I read a thing, and this was weeks ago. This feels like 1,000 years ago because like the whole world has gotten kids are way in more cages? Hellish.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's not even pre cages. It's post cages,
pre sender back. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, pre sender back. Yeah. Where somebody said like a poll of Democratic voters said that if they had their way, Warren would be on the ticket, but they think Biden is more electable.
Jesus.
And
fuck.
I was like, wait a minute, hold up.
Wait a minute.
Like,
wait,
if you had your way,
if you had your way, like, you were in control of this fucking situation. Yeah, you're not a goddamn pundit. Oh my God.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm so disgusted. Everything is horrible. Horrible. Yeah. Thanks for recommending Shiver.
we're at the end of our fucking ropes.
Yeah, it is not your fault. I'm sorry. No. I yelled. Things are just bad. I haven't been sleeping. I'm sad. I'm sorry.
I haven't gotten a good night's sleep in 30 years.
Yeah.
I haven't slept like a baby since I was a baby.
Yeah, I haven't slept like I was a baby since I was in the womb. I'm sorry. Not Shiver's fault, not your fault. Listeners, it's not your fault. Okay, Pocket.
Okay. I think we're coming up on time.
Oh yeah. Very much so.
There's sorry. this is a strange thing. I'm going to end that kind of weirdly existential episode with something that is not generally a thing we do. The fact for this game by Jay Trost is actually really good.
Okay.
Yeah, it is formatted.
I looked at it, but not in detail.
Yeah, so. No, I opened it up and I was like, oh my gosh, this is like nicely formatted. And he is like writing directly to the reader, but in a way that does not insert them into the equation. Mm-hmm. And it's just very clear and very reader forward, in a way that, is rare for things that we cover on the show.
I don't like that he says Shivers isn't another Doom where you can sit down and play it with no brains whatsoever.
That's bad. That is the low point of this.
The part of you that, not to go on, I mean, we have another episode I have very little on a game I have very little to say about, so I'll save this rant. But the part of you that is like, you know, I play these kind of games, they're smart. People who play this kind of game, they're dumb. Like, kill that part of you.
Yes.
That part of you's got to go. I don't blame this fat guy. It's probably been a long time since he's written it.
Yeah, yeah. This is written in like
O2. From it. Yeah. I didn't actually read the rest of the fact. I was just like, oh, this guy is talking shit about Doom for no reason. There's some kind of elitism about playing adventure games.
Yeah.
That I don't have a lot of time for.
Nope. Generally, other than that one unfortunate line, it is a good fact. So.
He does have a fact at the end for the in-game menu, which includes the brightness option. So I like that.
This is good.
Thank you for explaining it, Jay Trost.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
Good job.
Good job.
Yeah.
If you like the show, we promise it's funnier than this ordinarily. go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv to get 2 bonus episodes a month, to support your boys, to sponsor an episode, which may or may not be about the episode, and to, in general, get a bunch of bonus content. Then ratings and reviews, also useful.
Come to Duckfest, August the 31st.
Yeah, that will be, here's the thing. I don't think there's very much chance that's going to be like an existential breakdown day for Duckfeed. But if it is, don't you want to be there for it? Like, yes, it might either be really funny, but if it turns into this and it's just like the most, you know, I think you should leave shit that's ever been. Don't you want to be there for it? Like, you want to see that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you want to be there as the network implodes.
I would want to be there.
Yeah.
You know, got to see the cancellation of Duckfeed by the coward Robert Ford.
So, thank you for suggesting aerodynamics or for demanding Shivers aerodynamics.
Thank you very much. We very much appreciate it.
Yeah.
And until next time, we're between sign offs.